It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, preacher.
Preach to us.
It's an honor to be here.
Amen.
To me, when a preacher steps to the pulpit, right now, this second, is one of the most exciting times of the whole message. What do you mean? When they announce that text, where's he going? Where's God leading him? That's where we'll be eating spiritually. So it's with excitement. I say Psalm 45. Psalm 45. I hope, it's a terrible thing to say, I hope you're not real familiar with it. I hope we're all sort of on equal ground, beginners, just students wading out into this passage of Scripture. It's only got 17 verses, Psalm 45, and it is in my heart. This is the way I've studied anyway, the way I've prayed. We're going to be in Psalm 45 again tomorrow morning. And I reckon again Wednesday morning and Thursday and Friday. I told the Lord, I said, I don't know. Can you preach 5 messages out of 17 verses? Seemed like he said something like, I wrote it, didn't I? Psalm 45. I want to ask you to do something. Brother Steve stepped out. He won't mind this. I know Brother Rule and Jamie there anyway. I want to ask you to read Psalm 45 this week. And what I mean, I don't mean read it once. Read it again and again and again as you have time. I realize Taylorsville's built on preaching. They'll be preaching tonight. They'll be preaching again in the morning. And that's part of what we all love about it. But there's a little afternoon time to read. There's some time in the mornings or in the evenings before you go to sleep. Read Psalm 45. I don't want just to be talking about it or referring to it. I don't want to just discuss it. Hope I get an amen here. I want Psalm 45 to get into us. It is, and you're entitled to a different opinion, but it is, to me, one of the greatest chapters in the Word of God. It is epical in its impact. Psalm 45. It is, you might want to write this down, you might could remember it. It is a messianic psalm. Well, what in the world is it? It is a psalm that talks about the Messiah. In case you don't know who that is, it's Jesus, the Messiah. Biggest question, and the liberals can't get over it. How can a poem, a chapter, a psalm, Holy Ghost inspired, how can something written 1,000 years before the fact, in this case, 3,000 and still counting years before the fact, be accurate in its portrayal of the Messiah? 2 words, I'll take an amen, only God. Only God. Psalm 45. Tell you what it did, and I know it's all right. I went to a printer. Davey and I know a Christian printer. Doesn't live, his little office not 3 miles from the house. And I asked him to print me some Psalm 45s. Look at that. Get an amen ready. King James Version. That's where the amen goes right there. Psalm 45, 17 verses. It's got, I wrote a little introduction page. It's called a Bible portion. That's what they call this, a Bible portion. The American Bible Society used to print millions of them. You could order from them King James, the book of Acts, Bible portion. That's all it was. They'd put it in big print for folks that didn't need Bible portion. I don't know how many Proverbs they published. I can still see, still got one in my library, the book of Psalms. It's thicker, 150 Psalms. And this is very small, Psalm 45. I want to, and I had him fix me hundreds of them. And if you'll do this, you don't have to. I won't get on to you. This is not anything obligatory. Anybody that reads Psalm 45 10 times gets one. If you'll see us, I'm just going to give them out wholesale. Well, I was going to, the first 700 of you. That's all I got. We're limiting to the first 700. That'd be 7,000 times through, amen? That'd be something. Love to give, and you say, well, why would you do that? Look, fits in your pocket. It slides in your Bible very easily, so you can read it again tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. I'm not asking for a vow or a prayer. How many of you would sort of like to do that with me? Oh, well, hands up, okay. Yeah, all over the place. 10 times. And then, as you do that, when we give these out, I won't count how many chapters we're reading. Not in the service by that. Keep a rough idea. I'd like for us to read it thousands of times. Everything I preach is going to be Psalm 45. If you don't like that, I'm sunk. That's all I'm doing with. But I will say this and take an amen. It's about Jesus. How can you not like it? It's about Jesus. Psalm 45. Notice with me verse 1. Psalm 45, verse 1. You know what I think some of you little boogers are doing? And I love you, and that's a term of endearment with me, little boogers. I think some of you are already reading it. Pay a little attention up here every now and then, if you will. We end up giving out books as soon as I'm through preaching. I know they've been reading it. Verse 1. I can't start at verse 1. There's something in my Bible written up above verse 1. They call it, I think the word, Brother Hallett, superscript. Superscript. Super in Latin means above. Script is obvious. Something written above verse 1. They argue about these. A fellow wrote a book. Is it the one up above or is it the one down below that applies to the sun? Super don't mean down below. It means up above. I could have saved him that book. The superscript. It is the Holy Ghost giving us a hint of what's coming. Now, they argue about the superscripts. You know, I just want to say this. Y'all look and be sure. It's in my Bible. It's in my Bible. It's in my Bible. I'm going to preach it. I mean, apart from some human notes to help. Superscript. Look, to the chief, y'all see where I'm at? To the chief musician. That's how it starts out. To the chief musician. What on earth about these 17 verses has got to do with the chief musician? And I'm going to give you a synonym for the chief musician. then I want to talk about the word that's employed. Here's what the chief musician is. I hope somebody will smile at me. The song leader. That's all it is, the song leader. The choir director. It's not said about every psalm to the chief musician. Around 50, I don't know the exact number, but it's right around 50 psalms, get this, to the chief musician. And what does it mean, Brother Bagwell? It means the Holy Ghost thought this one was special enough to be set to music and sung by the choir when Israel gathered to worship. That's good enough for me. To the chief musician. There are three different men through the ages of the Old Testament who served, that are named, who served as chief musician. But the word means this. Preeminent one. I mean, I got that right out of the lexicon. Preeminent one. I thought I'll look a little further, and it means this, eternal one. That's what I said, eternal one. And then it means this, one above whom there is no other. Now, y'all excuse me. I ain't never met no choir director that qualified on those three things. Preeminent, eternal, above whom there is no other. I'm going to do so. I don't know if it's in any of the books or not. I think I know the chief musician. Preeminent, eternal, above whom there is no other. Here's a stab. I think it's the Lord. The chief. But I'm just creating more problems. You say, the Lord is the chief musician? It's in Psalm 22. It's quoted again in Hebrews when we all get to heaven. Boy, don't you like that thought? When we all get to heaven, somebody's going to step out and somebody's going to lead the choir. Somebody's going to direct the worship and direct the praise. And let me tell you who it's going to be. We're going to see a lot of him up there. I hope I get an amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He'll be the cheerleader in glory. Y'all okay with that? To the chief musician. And he read verse 1 and the Lord's made an appearance in the superscript. Let's go for it. To the chief musician upon Shoshanim. What in the world? Shoshanim. That is an English spelling. It's called a transliteration of a precise Hebrew word. Shoshanim. What on earth does Shoshanim mean? Basically, at the heart, this is what it means. See if I get a... Y'all are with me, I think. Of the lilies. Something to do with a lily in this psalm. You're going to think that every little fact you give me ahead to the Lord, but I read somewhere he's the lily of the valley. He's the chief musician. He's the lily. Oh, I don't know if I ought to say this or not because I don't want to ruin tomorrow's lesson or the next day or something. Lilies, they're often used at weddings. It's the flower of choice. There may be a wedding in our future. Shoshanim. I don't know, you can get different facts, but I read something about those lilies, and it just fits in with both Allens. and the message they brought to, said the lilies of the Holy Land said they really do best in the valleys. Said their colors are more pronounced. Said they're a lot more fertile. Said they're more productive down in the valley. I just want to say something. I thank God for every mountain experience we have. Hope we have some here this week. But I sure do thank Him for the valleys also. Somebody mentioned the health and wealth boys. And no, they're not right. But I just want to say this minute, I'm glad they're not right. I wouldn't trade anything for the beautiful fact that my Savior goes with me through the valleys of the shadow of life's experience.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The lily. He's the lily. Brother Steve, I read this, and it can be countered. And I said those Holy Land lilies said beats off. Said the predominant majority said they're either red or white. That's what you're going to get. You get red or white. You say, what in the world, red or white? Don't know, but what popped in my mind was, though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins stand out like a sun. See that red tie right there? See them red suspenders right there? You ain't going to miss that, ladies and gentlemen. Stands out. It's pronounced. It's prominent. Though my sins be as scarlet, though my sins stand out, though my sins shame me no end, hallelujah, they can be as white as snow through the blood of our Savior. Shoshanim, it's got to do with lilies. To the chief musician upon Shoshanim, for the sons of Korah. For this same, we do it at church. Duet, you know, sing, or trio's going to say, we want to dedicate this song to Sister So-and-so. She's been sick. God spared her. She's here today. She loves it. This sister is, look at this. For the sons of Korah. They dedicating this thing to those boys called the sons of Korah. Who in the world is that? Well, I thought, I look up that word Korah. That's where my help will be. And I looked it up, and this is what it means. Bald. Bald. I guess Grandpa was bald. I don't know. I'll tell you what, based on the life of Elisha, I ain't making fun of no bald men around here. Man of God's bald-headed, that's fine with me. May God bless him. The she-bear, y'all. Bald. So that's not, I don't think that's where the meat's going to come. Sons of Korah. Long story short, it's just dedicated to a bunch of boys. I'm going to say it this way. If you're with me now, help me. Who ought to have been dead. Their daddy, Korah, was the ringleader of that rebellion against Moses. Wanted to kick him out of power. God wasn't about to let that happen. Something about the earth, anybody believe it? Opening up its mouth and swallowing them alive into the pit. Korah and his company. Y'all know this. When God does that, generally he gets the whole family. When they stoned Achan, they got Achan, his wife, and his children. God didn't just get Ananias. He got Sapphira in the process. God usually takes out the whole family. But in this case, and I don't know why, God spared these kids. They should have been in the pit, roasting, burning. And yet, they're fixing to hope again, an amen. Sing the praises of God. Preacher, I see in that my testimony. You know where I'd be if I got my just desserts? I'd be in hellfire. I'd be weeping and wailing and gnashing my teeth. But by the grace of God, I've been spared. I've been saved. I've been redeemed. Brother Allen, I've been rescued. And I want to announce I plan on singing praises to His good name. There's something in this chapter I reckon that ought to get us excited. If we deserved hell and have been delivered. Y'all okay? Chief musician Shoshannon for the sons of... here's a word. Maskell. Maskell. Boy, I hope we get out of the superscript. It'd be bad, wouldn't it? Maskell is another Hebrew noun. Brought directly into English. What in the world does maskil mean? Here's the heart of it. Teaching. Instruction. Oh my. This thing's written to worship. You'll say, you get to reading it and the Holy Ghost get to moving in your... This thing is designed to worship the lily. This thing's designed to the chief musicians. This thing's about Jesus. And now somebody's done stuck the word teaching right slap in the middle of it. Listen, this is important. In an atmosphere of worship, you can still learn something. I think that's one of the lovely things about old-fashioned camp meeting. There's worship. There's praise. There's magnifying, and then he'll call an Allen Laws to the pulpit, and that boy will go through 2 Thessalonians 3:1-3, and teach me, and advise me, and guide me. Could I get an amen right there? Maskell. It does mean instruction, learn. Every book says that. But I looked up the root of maskell. It is a word that means, please get this, wisdom. Discernment. In the Bible, learning things has got nothing to do, I need a witness, with IQ. It's got everything to do with Holy Ghost spirituality. How many of y'all, you will, how many of y'all believe the Holy Ghost is a real teacher anyway? Bagel's sure not going to teach you anything. But if the Holy Ghost shows up, we'll learn a lot out of Psalm 45. He's the teacher. Jesus said He'll guide you into all truth. He's the teacher. Announcement, the Holy Ghost don't let no dirty students into class. The word means instruction, but it has the idea of wisdom, purity, holiness, and cleanliness behind it. I'm just going to say it. The purer, the cleaner life you try to live to the glory of God, the more you'll be able to learn of Him and His word. Maskell. Look at here. A song of loves. Remember I told you a minute ago about them lilies? They showed up at weddings a lot. A song of loves. Brother Allen was it you? You said you wasn't no fighter. He was a lover. And he explained what he meant by that. A song of loves. I'm going to tell you what I hope. I hope every one of us becomes a lover this week. A song of loves. This thing's going to end up being about loving Jesus. A song of loves. Now, I looked up that word song just out of curiosity. It means just what it implies. Something set to music and lifted, spoken, vocalized. But it comes from a word song. It comes from a word that means to walk, to stroll, and to go about your daily life. Brother Bagwell, make up your mind. is this thing about singing or is it about carrying on your daily life? I'll tell you what I think it's about. Carrying on your daily life with a song on your lips. It gives us the word minstrel, as in a traveling minstrel, a singing minstrel. This thing, if we really get it, Psalm 45, could I make an announcement? It'll go home with you. It might stay with us for a month or two. If it really got down in my heart, I might not get over it the rest of my days. No, I'm not doing you fair. Hey, y'all, I'm fixing to announce it. We're heading to a wedding one of these days. It's a song of loves. Plural. Loves. And you look up that word for loves. In fact, I mean, just give me about a 90-second detour. The word for loves gives us the word, Old Testament word, Jedidiah. And then you say, who in the world's Jedidiah? That's Solomon's other name. Solomon, the man of peace. Jedidiah, the man of love. And that leads many commentators, even some of the middle of the road fellas, some that ought to know, but say, this is about Solomon. This is because of that love, Jedidiah. This is all about Solomon and his wedding, to which I want to say, which one? Y'all aren't getting that, are you? He attended several. This same Spurgeon said in his opening paragraph in Treasure of David, he said, if you think this is about Solomon, you're short-sighted. He said this, if you think it's about Solomon and Jesus, you're cross-eyed. Then he said this, if you think it's about Jesus, you're 20/20. Well, then if Jedidiah loves, if it's not that, what in the world is it? It comes from a word that means to love. The Jews are passionate people. They get excited. They'll jump and run around. This word loves gives us the word to love. It's not agape. It's Greek. It's none of that. It gives us a word that means down inside. And I just saw it again this morning. It says, get this. I'll see if you can make it work in your mind. It means to boil. Would some of y'all nod your heads? Whether you're getting it or not, if you just do that, it helped me to boil. You ever been in love? You husbands better get with the program here now. You ever been in love and you loved her so much it boiled up in you? It affected your appetite. It affected your sleeping. It affected everything you did. It got fervent. It got warm. It got absolutely thrilling. Now I'll take that collective amen right there. This thing's a song of loves. You know what? I wouldn't mind if it got to boiling around here this week. And I'm not talking about the thermometer neither. Loves. Loves for our Lord. I probably shouldn't have spent that much time on the superscript, but I want to tell you something. I enjoyed telling you about that. If that doesn't give us a heads up on what's coming, nothing will. Now, forget it. Don't read it yet. Knowing full well some of you, I've watched you. You done got it in about three times. And that's all right. I don't get on to anybody. Before you read verse 1, I read this and then I thought about it. Tried to do a little analysis on my own. This may be, verses 1 and 2, the most excited a Bible writer ever gets about what he's fixing to tell. Jude was a little bit reluctant. He said, I wanted to write about the common salvation. Ladies, that I can't. I'm going to have to encourage y'all to earnestly contend for the faith. He did it, but that wasn't his first choice. With this writer, by the way, you obey God whether you like it or not. You preach what he said preach, whether you think it fits or not. Excited about what he's going to tell us. Bubbling out of him. He's in love. He's in love. Verse 1. Brother Steve, did you say a quarter till? Okay. Where did I lay my little Bible? Thank you, son. Don't worry, it happens all the time. My heart is indicting a good matter. Now, yeah, I don't know if you... He said, I done come across something good. Brother Charles, like you found a new writer, a new author, a new book, and it's just feet. My heart's indicting a good matter. Heart. Little Hebrew noun is L-E-B, lib, heart. What does it mean? I looked it up. It means inside, the inner part of you, my heart. Brother Allen's, I didn't know it until this morning. The root word behind heart, the innermost part of a man or a woman, it is a word that carries the idea of thought, of being able to ponder something. To the English mind, we think with this, gray matter, intelligence. To the Hebrew mind, he thinks with his heart. Brother David, you see what I'm saying? I see your head. You say, I don't believe that stuff. Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. My heart is indicting a good matter. Is he emotionally involved? He's boiling in love for his Savior. But is his intellect engaged? I'm going to tell you something. Greatest thing you'll ever think about is the darling Son of God. Yes, sir. Hey, I preached through the book of Malachi. Over there in chapter 3, there's a crowd that gets together and gets to talking about God. That's all they're doing. They're just talking about God. And God said, hey, get out my book. And he wrote down in his book what they said, thinking about him. And then God said this. Said, you ain't even got to say it out loud. He said, if you'll think it about me in his heart, if you'll think it about me, I'll get that too. I'm going to need an amen. And you'll get a blessing. My heart is indicting a good matter. The word indicting, quite a word. It means... let's grab 4, 5, 6, 8 little commentaries. I guess you can use that word. Just a little study helps. The comment I like the best, and it's true to the Hebrew, indicting means this. And it's similar to that word loves. It means bubbling up. Bubbling up. I don't think you're getting it. Bubbling up. You talk to me. I just take an amen if it's happened. If not, just hush. Don't say a thing. Has the Holy Ghost ever bubbled up in you? Somebody ever been singing a song? It'll happen with Debbie. Somebody's happened today with Debbie. Somebody get to singing a song she loves from the depths of her heart. I can see it. It just gets to bubbling. As something goes on deep down inside. I'm glad I know the bubbler. Hallelujah. My heart is bubbling, indicting a good matter. I like Pepsi Cola. If you like Coke, that's fine. I have to drink a lot of Coke. I drink diet sometimes. But just give me a Pepsi. I had got some at Walmart on sale the other day. You put Pepsi and on sale together, I get to bubbling, if you know the truth. But that's not my illustration. I was in the car and I had a Pepsi there, and Peter got real, real thirsty. And without thinking, I just screwed that thing. And guess what happened to my Pepsi? It bubbled up. It bubbled up and out and all over the place. Crude illustration. I'm going to tell you something. This psalmist says, I've been thinking about my King. I've been thinking about my Lord. Said he's prettier than a lily. Said I really think he's the chief of everything going on in my life. And he said, the more I thought about it, said I just, get this word, I just effervesced. I just bubble up. It just got all over me. Hallelujah. My heart is indicting a good matter. A good matter. The word matter, it's D-A-B-A-R, Dabar. It literally says, my heart is indicting a good word. My heart is indicting a good word. All right. I don't think the devil likes that bubbling business. All right. My heart is indicting a good word. A good word. God reveals. God operates.
Feel like Benny Hinn, folks. I'll tell you that. Well, that killed that service, didn't it? My heart is indicting a good matter. Dabar. I got about 2 or 3 minutes anyway, and we're gonna come. Lord, we're gonna be all week in these 17 verses. A good matter, a good word. See if I get a little help here. God always works through His word. I like feeling, but that's not the way God does His major job. I like God works through His book. Hallelujah. My heart is indicting a good matter. The word is T-O-B, sometimes pronounced T-O-B, a tov dabar, a good thing. I want to tell y'all something. The word of an almighty God, I'll need an amen, is a good thing. Hallelujah. Good word. Good word. Now I'm going to take it from the Old Testament and go to the New. Good news. Are y'all with me? Good news. I think the old English is God's spell. That comes out as gospel to me. Best news that I've ever heard is the death, burial, and resurrection of my Savior. The best thing I've ever enjoyed is that I was lost on my way to hell. That's not good. But He loved me. He came. He died for me. He saved me when I believed on Him. My heart right now is indicting a good matter too. Hallelujah. Preacher, it's 9:45. We're going to take up tomorrow morning, God willing, right where we leave off. And I want to invite you to read this thing 10 times. Get that little old book if you're a mind.